It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John. John chapter 2. We're going to begin with the 9th verse today. And so please that you open your Bibles to John chapter 2, verse 9. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We're going to begin reading with John, Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day, I'm sorry, that's verse 1. We're going to start with verse 8, actually. And so, John chapter 2, verse 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. But this beginning, the miracles, did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and change, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And then answered the Jews, and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus said unto them, answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast days, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What a wonderful scripture verse. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time together. I thank you for your precious word. Please that you guide and lead us and strengthen us each and every day. Strengthen us in your word. Strengthen us with your power and your strength, dear Lord. Please, I just thank you and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please, show us your way and will now, those that are lost, that they'll come to salvation. And we're going to get to Nicodemus here before too long, and oh, that's a tremendous, tremendous story. And so please, show us your way and will. And so we're going to look at this wonderful wedding at Canaan, and we have talked about it now for a couple of times, and so we just continue the wonderful study. Please guide and lead us, show us your way and will, and strengthen us today as believers. And those that are lost, bring them to salvation. Show them their sin. Show them the need of salvation, the need to be saved. Please, dear Lord, I just ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, this is a wonderful scripture verse. I love the Gospel of John. I love the Word of God from cover to cover. But there are some special places that really touch your heart. You know, we've looked at the water pots, and took a good look at those this Last time we were together, and the amount of water and the filling of it and those things, and, you know, we're going to take just another quick look here, and this is a lesson here for you and me, you know, the physical lesson to go get the water. We're looking at a spiritual lesson here. Jesus uses us as a water pot today. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see this. We're just an old beaten water pot. That's all we are. And we've kind of talked about this. Nothing special, nothing attractive, just an old vessel. That's all we are. And one that should be just shoved aside and of no value or very little value. And so just pushed aside and even covered up, you know, so it can't be seen or looked upon. But as we realize what is happening here, he wants to fill us. Of course, we must be born again first. We must come by faith to Jesus Christ. And again, the chapter 3 here of the Gospel of John is a beautiful verses of Scripture concerning salvation, concerning a situation with Nicodemus. And so we're really looking forward to that, and it's going to be an exciting study. But before we get to that place, we need to see here, and we need to take a look at what the Lord is telling us here. You know, you can get tied up in a few things here that, well, was it the alcohol? Could they get drunk on this? You know, it even says, you know, that the well drunk. Well, it's the amount that you have eaten. You know, when you first begin to eat something, it may taste very good, or you begin to drink something, it tastes very good. But it's not too long after you have eaten or have drank a large quantity of something, the taste is kind of gone a little bit. It just, your taste buds are kind of wore out. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's wonderful here to see that this was so good that they could notice that. But don't be tied up. We're not going to discuss whether it was of something that they could get physically drunk on. I don't believe so. I think it was just a matter here that it was it was several days, and so they always bring the good first because your taste buds kind of lose their power and their strength later on through this wedding day here, and so we've looked at the old vessel. We've looked at the exciting thing of being filled, and yet the outside, you know, and even our inside, you know, we're nothing without Jesus Christ. Now, the day you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a wonderful day that great things are going to happen, and that is that you become a child of God. You begin to walk with the Spirit of God that lives within you, and you begin and have the opportunity at that time then to be filled. And so you open the Word of God and you search the Word of God and you hear the Word of God and you're filled with His power and with His presence. And so then you have, once again, a wisdom. You have the fruit of the Spirit, because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you possess the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance is the list that's there. And so what a wonderful thing to be filled up. And the water in the Word of God, the word water many, many times stands for the Word of God. And so when he has him go over and fill up with water, it's just the same thing that we're to do. We're to take the Word of God and we're to fill it up. We're to fill our body up with this water, with the Word of God. And what a wonderful thing happens when we do that. When we fill our lives with the Word of God, oh, here comes the joy and the peace and the strength. Wonderful. We need to walk each day and enjoy the time. And so when we study the Word of God, it goes in. And when the Word is given out, it not only brings a joy to us, but it also brings joy to others. And so it's a double blessing. It not only brings joy to someone else, but it brings joy to ourselves, but also to someone else. Folks get saved. They hear the Word of God, and the Word of God convicts their heart and shows them the need of salvation, and they get saved. It's wonderful. And then the saved grow, and that's a joy, too, to watch and to be a part of. All that comes from us filling. And that's the example here. That's the picture we have here with this water pots. You know, you said, boy, Larry, you've got a long ways away from the wedding and the activities of that wedding and all those things. Well, this is just a way for our Lord to show us this tremendous miracle. And when he has this wine, even when their taste buds are pretty well eliminated, they can still tell the difference. And he wants to know, why? Why did you wait and bring this good out now? Why wasn't it out? Well, if it would have been there at the beginning, if Jesus would have done this at the beginning, no one would have thought anything about it. They found out here and that they drew water. They drew water. They didn't go after more wine. Let's look at this now. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, this is verse 9, that was made. But the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good until now. No one could understand. Think about those servants that drew the water, and it came out wine. Where did it all start up here? I think it all started, the mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Verse 5. Oh, now there's a wonderful command. Whatever he says, do. We need to follow that. What a beautiful miracle that we have here. And again, it's not just the miracle of supplying more wine for the wedding service, the wedding days and the wedding party, but also it is for us to see what happens when we fill ourselves with the power of God, with the Word of God, that water, what happens? Joy comes out. Oh, it's unbelievable. It can go from something so ordinary, which is what I am, to something of power and strength and honor, and I can bring glory unto my God because of the water, because of the Word of God that I've put into my heart. I wish that was the case always, but even in the flesh, it's not. But we just praise our God that we have the opportunity to drink of that water and then to allow it and see see the action, see what comes of it. You know, when you and I came to Jesus, he didn't get anything but a sinner. He got old water pots, didn't he? But look what he did with it. Look what he can do with it. I hope today that you're born again and that you're following after the Lord Jesus. And so, beautiful picture here, and I hope that you enjoyed the study as we looked at that. Now let's continue. And this beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Look what this miracle did, because they knew that it was water put in there and it's wine coming out. Oh, we see someone here that's different than you and I. Someone here that can do much more than you and I can do. And after this, in verse 12 now, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. You know, there's a question we find all the way to the crucifixion. Mary follows her son, and again, her purpose was solely to bring allow God to have a body, the incarnate Christ. And so as we look at this and we see now that Mary is present here, we find her all the way present, but where's Joseph? And it's, there's concern maybe at this time Joseph is still at home working, making a living, and Mary is following after the Lord Jesus. It's possible that Joseph is dead, and so Mary is staying close to her son, and Jesus is taking care of her. And so we're not sure, and we do know that that there were other family members than the Lord Jesus. Jesus was the first, because the Virgin Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and brought forth the Lord Jesus. But after Jesus was born, there were other brothers that were born, possibly sisters, and so we're not listed. We know of some of them, and so we know that Joseph was alive for a period of time anyway, but now we find that Jesus here is 30 years old, and so rest of his of Mary's children would be older as well, and so it's possible, very possible, that Joseph is dead at this time. We find now they went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days, and so not too long did they stay there. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so we went from Galilee, Cana of Galilee, to Capernaum, and then on from Capernaum on to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem here, we have a feast going on, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And there was no question that Jesus must go, because Jesus fulfilled the law in every dot and tittle. And so we know that every part of it he has completed. And one of the requirements of a male adult was to attend three feasts. And out of all the feasts that were commanded, three of them you were to keep in Jerusalem. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, as we look at the Feast of Passover, the Passover is one that you are probably the most familiar with. However, the Feast of Pentecost is one that you also are very familiar with, because that's the birth of the church. And so we have the Lord Jesus lived and died and rose again 3 days later. And then after 40 days, Jesus ascended to be with his Father. And 10 days later, it was Pentecost. And that is the birth of the church. And remember, he tells his disciples, he says, you stay close by, you stay right here. There was a great day to come, and that day wasn't many days off. It was only 10 days. And so as you look at those two, are the most familiar to you as the Passover and Pentecost. And so Passover is where we're looking at today. And the Passover, of course, is one of the greatest times, because the Passover is one of the most beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus and his saving power and his saving grace of all the scriptures, the Passover. And we can go back, and if you'll remember, when they were about to exit Egypt, there had been many plagues that had been brought against Pharaoh and against Egypt. None of them convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. However, what they did then, they got to the place of the end and the ultimate, and that's the death of the firstborn. And that's what took place at the Passover. And they were commanded, Israel was commanded, anyone else could have joined in, because it was by faith. That's what it was. And so they were commanded to go and to find a lamb, to kill that lamb, and do it in a certain manner, prepare it in a certain way, and take the blood and put the blood on the lintel, on the doorpost, across the door, and then go into that house. Because when that night came and the death angel came through, if he didn't see the blood, all firstborn in that house would die. All firstborn would die. And so you had to believe that this was going to work. And so they performed this. They did all this, and they found themselves at the gate of the door of death. But when that death angel came through, it passed over because it saw the blood. And you see, you and I are the same way. He must see the blood. People deny the blood. They reject the blood. You reject the blood, you deny the blood, there is no salvation for you. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. You must come by faith and believe that he died on that cross and took your sins away. And what a glorious day, wonderful day it is, the day that you acknowledge that you believe that, and you know that to be true. And when you do that, then you're going to begin this wonderful walk, and you have an opportunity to be filled, as we talked about with the water pots filling here. And all this is a wonderful opportunity that we have. And so please, look to the Word of God. Look for salvation. Read John chapter 3. We're going to be there very soon. And it tells us, you know, in John chapter 3 that this man named Nicodemus comes. And it's just a wonderful story. Don't miss the study that's coming in the next couple of times here. Please do not miss the study. This Passover. Now, that was started back in Egypt. The rest of the feasts and the festivals that they had, that was all given to them up on Mount Sinai. They received the Ten Commandments, plus they received all these things, these feasts that they were listed here, and the rest of those were all given, and they were given exactly what time of the year. The Passover, usually in April, about mid-April, and so that's when this was taking place. And so they went from Galilee to Capernaum, and now they're over in Jerusalem, because it was required that they be there. Passover, Pentecost, and the tabernacle are the three that are required. You are required to attend. And so Jesus, in fulfilling the law, of course, was there. And so when he got to Jerusalem, he found something that was very displeasing to him. He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers of the money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now, you see the pictures of the Lord Jesus. I personally do not believe that that's going to look anything like the Lord Jesus, because we don't know what Jesus looked like. And so whoever decided to try to paint the picture of the Lord Jesus, they painted, number one, a very meek, almost weak man. Well, that's what the devil would like you to think that Jesus is. Jesus is not that way at all. He was a common man to look upon, but there was nothing weak about him. Look what he did. Don't you think they aren't trying to stop him? For him to come in there and tear that whole place up and run the oxen out and the sheep out, and they poured the changers, the tables over, he overthrew them, he threw the money on the floor. Why'd Jesus do that? Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. They were to come to the house of God. They were to worship there. They were to bring their offerings and their sacrifices. They're standing for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And again, what a picture, because Jesus shed his blood upon the cross. The blood was put upon the doorpost, and when that death angel come through, he sees the blood, and he, you know, the death angel doesn't stop by. He just keeps going. Oh, what a wonderful day it is that we can know Jesus Christ and know the power and the presence of the blood of Christ. And so this Passover is a tremendous picture, a beautiful picture. Everything was prepared. Everything is as God said it should be, and that's exactly the way we need to treat our God. That's the way we need to serve him and praise him and honor him, in a manner that is his way, not ours, his way. Well, that's part of the problem here, because you see, in order to bring offerings and sacrifices, that was quite a burden to people, because when they would travel from great distance for the Passover, the Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would bring their offerings, they would have to bring them from a great distance. And so when someone else would come with a peace offering or with a sin offering or the different offerings that they have, when they would bring those, it was just so much easier just to bring your pocketbook, and you get to the temple and you pick out a lamb or an oxen or something, and you pay out the price, and you take it on in and offer your sacrifice. Well, the problem with that is that several things. Number one, it became a very lucrative business. the people that was doing this at the edge of the temple here, the people that were doing this, they were there not to offer an easy service. They were there for the purpose of making money. And we have a lot of religious rulers that do the same thing today. They're not in it to save souls. They're not even there to change people's lives. They're there for the money. And we are common today that we try to make a religion easier. And so religion isn't hard. Religion shouldn't be a part of it. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But religion enters in, and here why they were coming, and they were coming to make the religion easier. And so they would bring all these animals in, they would line them all up, and you'd come in, and you just pick one and go. Well, that's a problem, because you should take more time, because this animal that you have, whatever you bring, needed to be perfect. And it takes some time to see that animal is perfect. It without blemish, can be lame, it couldn't be blind in any way. It had to be perfect. Now, if you brought that from home, you would have looked at that animal for days to see that was the best animal that you had. You would have taken some time to think about what wonderful opportunity this is and what we're going to do and what its purpose is. But instead of that, now we'll just go to town, we'll pick one up and take it over and offer it, and we'll be done with that and go on about our business. And I'm sad to say that's kind of the way we do church today. We just come whenever we feel like it. We pay a little, put a little money in the offering plate, and that satisfies our heart, I guess, and then it's over with. That's it. It's just that simple, that easy, and then you go home. You leave the church. You walk out the church doors. I've done my thing, and that's it. Well, my friend, that's not it. There's got to be some preparation coming. I love studying the Word of God, and every Sunday morning before I stand in that pulpit, I have spent a period of time in the Word of God, studying and in prayer, preparing my heart for the message, to prepare the message. And I've already studied prior to that time, but I come that morning. And so, if we would come into the house of God and have read the Word of God and studied the Word, filled ourselves with the Spirit of God, then we can come, and oh, the joy and the power and the strength, the learning that we would have if we would come. Instead of that, we just kind of come real quick and even run late, most of us. We get to church late, and we come in and dig down our pocket to see, I got $10 left, so that'll work, and I've got to eat dinner. And so I throw that in the offering plate and listen to the preacher preach, sing a couple hymns, pray a couple times, and out the door you go. And that is not being a Christian. That's being religious. And that's not getting you anything, anytime, anywhere. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please, that you come into the house of God prepared, ready to be a blessing and to receive a blessing. And you will, if you come to give a blessing, you will receive one. If you come and you just expect to get and to get and to get all the time, here they come. They did not. The animals many times were lame. They had blemishes. They were very expensive, and yet they were not even what God demanded that they have, but nobody cared. And that's kind of the same way today. You come into the house of God, and, it doesn't matter what you wear. People today are stuck on that, Come as you are. Come as you are. No, if you come as you are, you're going to go as you were. I want you to come. I want you to be thinking about what you've prepared, not only the heart, but you've also prepared the outside to come into the house of God, to worship God, to praise God, to honor God, and to show respect there. Please. I just ask you that you do that, because we see what Jesus did when he showed up. He saw through that. He knew what that was, and he come in there and just tore the place up. He's not weak. He's not little. He is strong. He's mighty, and he come with a vengeance, because he's going to mess this religion up. And it's going to be the same way. When that day of judgment comes, I'll tell you what, he's going to draw that line in the sand, and those that were religious are going to hell. Those that were believers in Jesus Christ are going to heaven. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Please, my dear friend, it's so important that you trust Jesus as your Savior. You look to him. He died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul, to take your sin away. And he did. So please come by faith to Jesus. We'll begin this study. We'll continue this study next time we come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?